Good morning. Seems like the further we get into James, the harder it is to preach. And if your toes hadn't got stomped on yet, they will this morning. And because we're talking about how to manage your mouth. I mean, James, this is such a practical book. And we have to understand that most of the problems that are caused in this world are caused because of things we say or don't say, or say the wrong place or the wrong thing at the wrong time, and things that we wish we could take back and we can't take back. And that really creates a problem, doesn't it? Anybody ever been there, done that? Okay. So we're all in the same boat then. So we're talking about the world's smallest, biggest troublemaker. And I'm glad James addressed this issue, because what he's talking about in the Christian life, there's a certain lifestyle, there's a certain way of living that should be different from the way of the world. And so he's directing this towards the brothers and sisters in Christ, that it ought not to be the way of the world, but the way of Jesus Christ and his character. So, you know, we live in a nation that actually loves to talk, okay? Everybody has an opinion about everything. Talk shows are very popular. The average American will have 30 conversations a day, and you'll spend one-fifth of your life talking. In 1 year, your conversations will fill 66 books, having 800 pages a book. The average man will speak 20,000 words a day, and a woman will speak, what do you think? 30,000 words a day, which just means they're held more accountable. Yeah. You have to repeat everything. That's right. Okay, now you got me off track, Maggie. So it's kind of like the guy who went in for, had a broken jaw, went in for an x-ray, and it turned into a movie. Okay, sometimes talking, you'll get it in a minute, talking is that way. You know, it just goes on and on. So some of us are born with a silver foot in our mouth, and we're trying to get out of that. So we say the wrong things at times in the wrong way or the wrong places. It's like the guy at the grocery store, a lady walked in and said, "I want to buy half a head of lettuce." And he looked at her and said, "Well, I don't know if you can do that." And she said, "Well, go find out." He said, "Okay, I will." So he went and found the manager, and he found the manager down a particular aisle, and he started saying, "There's this crazy old woman that just wants a half a head of lettuce." And he didn't know that she had followed him and was standing right behind him. When he realized that, he turned around and said, "This beautiful, fine lady wants the other half." And then, you know, so we're always trying to find a way to get out of things. And so our mouths get us into a lot of trouble. And it talks about, it's a very serious thing. Sometimes it's funny. Some things we can laugh at, like 10 years later, we can look back and laugh at. But at the moment, it caused pretty serious problems and troubles, okay? So, and that's what James is addressing, is how serious it is and why it is so dangerous. He gives three reasons why, and he gives two illustrations for each of the three reasons. And then he talks about what we need to do about it. How do we control our tongues? And he says, if we all stumble in many ways, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. And the word here, perfect, doesn't mean sinless. He's saying this is a pretty good gauge of who we are as a person, our closeness with Christ. And he's saying that the Greek here for perfection means mature or healthy. You know, when you go to the doctor and he says, stick out your tongue, you try to find out what's wrong in a physical way through your tongue. Well, actually, James is showing us how to check ourselves out in a spiritual way by the things that we say and how we use our tongue, and do we have it under control? So, and I don't know, a good title might have been, "Don't Let Your Tongue Lick You." I don't know. Get control of you, or take power over you. And that's the thing here. Let's look in the passage, James 3. 1 through 12. So not many of you should presume to be teachers. He's saying you have to be serious about this and think about it. The things that you say, you know, are not just frivolous. Words really do hurt. They can destroy a person, or they can uplift and encourage a person. So he's saying you really have to take note of that. my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged, and I can't even talk, judged more strictly, okay? So we have to take that very seriously as Christians, as leaders, as teachers, and we're all teaching in some way or another by our words. The things I preach and say up here, I take very seriously, knowing that God holds me accountable. If I say, thus saith the Lord, it better be God that did say it, and I didn't just make it up, you know, that it has to be true to God's word. And the same with us. We're all held accountable for the things we say. He says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is that perfect person, able to keep his whole body in check. Did you realize that whatever your tongue does, your whole body has to follow? You know, it's under control of this thing in our mouth. You know, if you say the wrong words to a person, you find yourself, your body saying, oh man, now I got to protect myself. You know, this guy's going to hit me. And so it follows through that way. It's very controlling. When we put bits, so now he's going to list a couple of verses here that show that the decisions that we make, the things that we say, actually depicts and dictates what direction we're going in. Do you realize that? The words that you say, where you're at in life today, is really dependent upon the words that you've said in your past. The job that you have today or maybe don't have is because of the words that were spoken, you know. So when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. So he's talking about something so tiny but yet so powerful that you can even take a 95-pound jockey, put it on the back of a horse, 2,000, 3,000 pounds, and actually control him by just a little tiny bit in the mouth, okay, to go left or right or forward or backwards. Or in another illustration, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. So we're going to talk about that, something very small, but something very powerful, something that has the power to even dictate to you the direction of your life. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. So now we're going to see two more illustrations of the devastating power of the tongue. Okay, it's small, yes, it's like a little spark, but it can completely destroy a forest. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, set the whole course of this life, of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Okay? Wow, have you ever had a Sunday like that? You come and praise and sing these songs and just feel good, and then you go home and all of a sudden an argument breaks out on where you're going to eat. Where did that come from? You know? And well, we'll talk about where that came from in just a minute. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So it's something very serious, and we want to look at two things. Why is it so serious? Why is it dangerous? And then also, how do we control this thing then? And because it does cause a lot of destruction in life. Number one, why is it so serious? Why is it so dangerous? Because first of all, it directs where I go. It directs where you go. It has such power that it makes the decisions for you, okay? What your body has to do, what the direction that it has to go, when that judge says innocent or guilty, you know, that directs a person's lives, maybe for years to come, or a parent, how it affects the direction that a child will go by the words that are said. And so we shape our words, but then our words begin to shape us, okay? It is like that rudder. It is like that bit. It's going to direct us. I mean, the words you say, man, is going to depend on where you sleep that night. You know, doesn't that kind of direct your path, you know, on the things that you say, whether good or bad? So we shape our words, and then they shape us. And this is the power of it. Then he gives that illustration of the horse and the controlling power. And then he also says, consider a ship. You know, the Queen Mary, they said, was 3 acres of recreational space. The anchor was equal to the weight of 10 cars. Yet the rudder on it was just relatively small compared to this massive ship. And that's what he says. They are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. So you have to think about, where are you headed now? Where has your tongue got you now? Or in the past, have we learned anything from the past? Do we stop to think before we speak? You know, do we begin to engage our mind before we put our tongue in gear? You know, do we give that time to know? Do we play it out? Where is this going to lead if certain things were said? Well, the tongue has such influence over. Some people think, well, maybe it's better to say nothing at all. Well, the psalmist tried that, and he said, and it burned within his heart, and it finally just exploded, and it had to come out. And it's kind of like this Trappist monk in a monastery. He had to make a pledge that for 3 years he wouldn't say a word, okay? But at the end of each year, he could say 2 words. Well, this guy, he got through the first year, didn't say a word to anyone, never spoke a word. Then he was allowed to say 2 words. His first 2 words were bed hard. He stayed for the second year, went through a whole year without saying a word. He got to say his 2 words, and then he said food cold. He went through his third year, and he about had it, and he was ready to quit. So when he was allowed to say something, he said, I quit. Well, the head priest said, that doesn't surprise me. All you've done is complain since you've been here. So words do direct our paths. And what we say, I mean, it tells the outcome of marriages, of relationships, of a job, whether you have a job or not. And you may have lost a job because of words spoken. You may have gotten a job because of words spoken. So it becomes very serious. And it's very dangerous. So it directs our paths. It directs where we go. That's why it's dangerous. Number two, it can destroy what I have. Do you realize it can destroy, the wrong words can destroy what you've spent a lifetime trying to amass, trying to put together, trying to build? Words can destroy all that. And he uses the illustration here of a tiny spark. And again, the tongue is small. A spark is very small. But the devastating power of the tongue, of words that are said, can destroy a whole forest. In 1983, Australia, there was one overnight fire that destroyed 600 miles of land and villages and livestock, all because of a single match of a careless camper. And it does. It creates, it destroys marriages and careers and reputations and people within the church, and destroys churches and friendships. And so it directs, but it also destroys. There's such a thing as a verbal arsonist that can burn people, and talks about a fire. And that's why they call it a roast. You know, they had those celebrity roasts on TV, and that's what you're doing. You're roasting them in their own fire. And it hurts. Fire that is controlled is a good thing. It produces warmth, but fire out of control is a devastating thing. And the same with words. That's what he's saying here. Proverbs 18:20, you have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Verse 6, it sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. So the devastation, the consequences. It said that Mein Kampf, Hitler's book, that the writing, that every word in Hitler's book produced 125 lives that were lost in World War II. And the consequences of those words and in that book. So You know, and it does. It just spread. It's like the husband that comes home from work and he's grumpy and he gripes at his wife, and then his wife takes it out on the oldest child, and the oldest child takes it out on the baby sister, and the baby sister kicks the dog bites the cat, and the cat scratches the baby, and the baby bites the head off of the Barbie doll. You know, it does that. It creates that environment and that chain reaction like a fire, okay? It'd have been a lot easier if the guy just came home and bit the head off the Barbie doll. Then they wouldn't have had to do all the other stuff, but that's what he said. It's like a fire. It's like a fire. You know, and it's just like the counselor asking the couple, you know, well, what happened? And he said, well, she said this, then I said this, then I said that, then she said this. And then what happened? He said, well, then all hell broke loose. And that's exactly what happens, the fire and the rages of hell. And it just begins to escalate. And that's why it's such a serious thing. It's like a spark that can create this huge fire and be blown way out of proportion and destroy lives, destroy relationships, destroy a Christian witness, destroy a job. And the list can just go on. It's set on fire by hell. Proverbs 21:23. If you want to stay out of trouble, then be careful what you say, okay? Sometimes easier said than done, and we're going to look in a minute of how we can be obedient to that passage. Then he uses another illustration. It's like a zoo. It's like all the animals, you know. And man has pretty much been able to tame all the animals, but no man can tame the tongue. He's saying it's humanly impossible, but of course with God's presence and the Holy Spirit, that's why James is presenting it. James is not going to present something we have total no control over, and it's just going to be that way. He says you do have a choice, you do have control because of the very presence of God through his Holy Spirit within you. So we have that. But even animals, you know, animals are animals. Yes, they can be tamed. Yes, you can go through the game farm up here. But yes, you have to be careful. And they tell you to keep your wind up or whatever. No matter how tame an animal is, all of a sudden they could break. And you hear that on the news all the time. Somebody gets bit by their pet or, you know, that they thought was completely trained and then turns on them and even kills them. And so he's saying it's something very shaky. In the Greek here, it says it's a poison or it's a snake venom. Just a few drops can kill. You can assassinate people with words, assassinate their character, and that the tongue is very deadly. So that's why it's dangerous. Number three, another reason it's so dangerous is the tongue we have to be aware of is because it actually defines, it displays who we are, who I am, what's really inside of me. The Bible is very explicit about that. That whatever comes out of the mouth is really because of what's in the heart. Verse 9, it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with the same tongue we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. From the same mouth, praise and cursings, my brothers, this should not be. You know, it's not necessarily, the Greek word here for cursings is not like profanity. The word here is that we can praise God and uplift the name of Jesus and then turn around and put somebody else down. That's what cursing somebody else is, saying you're no good or you never amount to anything or I don't know why I ever married you or, you know, I knew you would do this to me. It's using the overuse of those words, you and you and you did this and you did that. That's putting down. And he's saying, how can you do that, you know, destroy another person, but then at the same time be praising the Lord? And it was happening. Wow. It's, you know, it's kind of like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. It was happening back then. Why? Because people are people. No difference. 2,000 years later, people are still doing the same. You know, and we've all been there. We feel so good, and we're having a good day, and somebody says something, you know, that sets us off, or a child does something and makes us angry, or a spouse or whatever, and all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, in a bad mood, okay? And he's saying we have to be aware of that. We have to realize that it can't, if we want to follow the Lord and you know, there's this good spring, well, then salt water is not going to well up or vice versa. Or, you know, you don't go out and get bananas off of an apple tree if we say we're one thing. And that's what James' book is about, is prove it. Okay, then do it. If you say you're a Christian, then Christian things should be coming out of your mouth. And so we should be uplifting and not tearing down. and blessing others. He said, "Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." So here's the point. My tongue is not the problem, okay? Our tongue is not the problem. Neither is your eye the problem. You know, when he talks about sin, it's your heart. You know, you don't get rid of your eye. You don't get rid of your tongue. But it's what from in the inside. He said it's from the heart. Our problem is in the heart. And those times we say, wow, where did that come from? Well, James is going to tell us where that came from. It came from our heart. And we say things like, I can't believe I said that, or, I didn't really mean that. That's not like me. Well, yeah, it is. When we're talking about sin and our need for forgiveness and salvation, our need for God's presence and strength, it is us. Matthew 12:34, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So not only does it direct where we go, it also can destroy all that we have, but it also displays who we are. And we have to understand it's a heart problem, okay? It's a heart problem. Now, this is a good thing to know, because when other people say things, listen to their heart. The reason why they said that, okay? When we say things and we want to ask ourselves why, or go to God, why did I say that? You know, we need to look at the heart. So I thought this was good. It's a heart problem. So a person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person with a critical tongue has a bitter heart. You know? And that makes sense when you begin to see that and answer the questions, why did I say the words that I said, to try to understand and go to God in prayer for that help. On the other hand, a person who's always encouraging has a happy heart. A person who is gentle has a loving heart. And a person who speaks truthfully has an honest heart. Okay? So we know that where it's coming from and why we do those things. How do we control it? Well, the answer then is this: number one, get a new heart. Okay? So get a new heart. How do we do that? We say, well, hey, I'm a Christian and I still have problems with my tongue. Okay? I know growing up, we always had, and like we do here, invitation time, but time of rededication, time of recommitment. Okay? Sometimes people... Jesus is not really on the throne of our heart. What happens is we kind of push him off or nudge him to the side, or we try to sit on there with him and take control of our lives ourselves, and we try to take care of things, and so the things that we say just get us further into trouble. And we realize we can't do it on our own. And that's when we have to give back to God our whole life, you know, and rededicate and recommit to him. And he says we have to get our heart afresh and new. Ezekiel 18:31. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Sometimes we just need to get refreshing. We need revival in our heart, in our spirit. We just need a freshness of God. You know, David, the psalmist, he wrote about the strife of the tongue. And evidently there were people talking about him and saying false things about him. And he didn't really go after them, but he went to the Lord. And it talks about finding his sanctity there and God, you know, putting his arms around him and giving, you know, his value, his worth, you know, in the Lord. And that's what we need to do sometimes. We need to identify what's going on. We need to identify within our own selves or maybe other people and go to the Lord and ask for that forgiveness and that refreshing and that commitment. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, and that's what we pray for. That's what we seek God's word for and look to him. Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart. You know, and that was David's rededication. He knew the Lord. He had a tremendous faith for God. God's word says that he was a man after God's own heart. Wow. You know, but still he had this trouble with the tongue and with sin. And he said, create in me a clean, it's time of rededication, of freshness, of just, you know, admitting that we were wrong, we did wrong, and we can excuse what we said, but it comes from the heart. And there's times when, for whatever reason, you know, and it's not an excuse, it may be a reason in our sinfulness, in our bad mood or whatever, but we need to identify those things, and we need to get that freshness from God and forgiveness. Number two, we need to ask God for help, and this is daily. This is not just a one-time event, and it may be hourly in, during the day. Psalm 141:3, and this is a good one, one that we need to know and memorize. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. He's actually saying, set a guard, a sentry over my mouth. He's saying, put a muzzle on me, God. You know, I can't control this thing, and but I need your help. You know, and we need to pray that and pray that daily, that we would think before we speak, that we'd give things some time, you know, that we would understand our heart and where we're coming from. Don't let me be critical today. Don't let me be judgmental. You know, don't let me say things that I would regret later. You know, we just need God's help in those things daily. Sidlow Baxter said this, the proof that God's Spirit is in your life is not that you speak in an unknown tongue, but you control the tongue that you do know. So we kind of have our hands full there and living for God. And getting into God's Word and asking God for help really does help us in this area. It's just like the computer lingo, garbage in, garbage out. We need to put in to our heart, to our mind, and to our souls the things of God, those things that are positive, those things that are good and pure, and then that's what comes out. And then three, of course, we need to think before we speak. James is saying we need to engage our mind before we put our mouth in gear. James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So if we're slow to speak, then he's implying that that gives us time to think about what we're going to say before we say it, okay? And so that we would be quick to listen and slow to speak, which would also bring about slow to anger instead of just exploding. So, you know, what does your tongue say about yourself? What direction has it made you go at this time within life? So our tongues do control where we go. It can also destroy all that we have, and it also displays who we are on the inside. And Warren Wiersbe was reading his book on James, and he introduced 12 words that can transform your life. And he said those words are please, thank you, I'm sorry, I love you, and I'm praying for you. You know, so James is saying, you know, we have a choice in what we say. And it comes from our heart. And if we tend to be apathetic or cold or indifferent, then we can talk harshly, or we can get to where we boss people, or we're inconsiderate and inconsistent. Ezekiel says, get rid of all your offenses you've committed and get a new heart and a spirit. You know, and it's a universal problem. Somebody once put on a tombstone, here lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. And what James is saying here, you know, don't wait till you die. You know, that's not the answer, you know, to die so you can hold your tongue. The answer he's saying is to learn how. That's a sign of maturity and Christian maturity and the right witness for the Lord, being that ambassador for Christ. And why? Because it directs where you go, where you're headed. It'll destroy what you have, but it also identifies what's inside. And he says, read your Bible, fill it with the good things. And again, let me just reiterate, it's a harsh tongue shows an angry heart. A negative tongue shows a fearful heart. An overactive tongue shows an unsettled heart. A boasting tongue is an insecure heart. A filthy tongue is an impure heart. A critical tongue is a bitter heart. But then on the other side, an encouraging tongue is a happy heart. A gentle tongue is a loving heart. And a truthful tongue is an honest heart. So he says it comes from the inside. To find that peace, not to be fearful, not to feel insecure, but to have that loving heart so it better equips us for the things that we say. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And James is so practical, and these are areas that we need to work on in our Christian life and be reminded of. Maybe a time this morning that God is just touching your heart, a time of rededication, you're just tired of the direction you're going because of the way things are going, the way your heart feels, which makes the things that have been said recently, and you just need, you're like David, the psalmist that needed that clean heart, that freshness within. And this is a time for that, of recommitment to the Lord. Or maybe you've never known Jesus. You need to ask him to come into your heart at this time. That's the only way we can have control of this area of our life. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of James that is so practical, Lord. For this reminder this morning to get control, because we can't say we have no control. We do. It's a matter of choice. We have to understand who we are at that time within our heart, how we're feeling. If we have feelings of insecurity or unsettledness or fearfulness or anger or impurity or bitterness, Lord, it is going to affect the things we say. So we pray we can identify those things within our heart, first of all, before we allow it to come out in our lips, Lord. That we would spend time with you, that we would call upon your name to set that sentry, that guard, that muzzle, Lord, over our mouths each day. And that our words would be positive, they would be uplifting, they would be truthful, always with love, to be the ambassadors of God that you would have us to be. For we ask this in Jesus' name.